It's time to make the Chimmy fucking Changas with the Mighty Warriors 3 review of Dead.
Ooh. That you don't, baby. No. Not you. You. The bow-legged one. Yeah. What's your name? Damn, babe. That sounds sexy.
Here I go again, okay, girls, yeah. What's my weakness? Yeah. Okay, then chillin', minding my business. Word. You saw that I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going on with something kinda wicked, had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I asked for the digits. I hope no, that don't make me see what I want, slip, slide to it swiftly. Felt it in my hips, so I dip back to my bag of tricks. Then I flip for a tip, made me wanna do tricks on them, lick them like a lollipop should be licked. Came to my senses and I chill for a bit. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell, hell, makes me wanna shoot.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 2 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is number one Deadpool fanatic, Deadpool. Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back. Your character's on the big screen. We are happy. Be happy. You are happy, right?
I am so excited right now. I've got the lotion handy, and I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
And joining us from the state of Oklahoma, Mr. Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan.
How you doing? And I'm riding that shiny unicorn myself, so we're good.
Oh, Zambonis. Riding the Zamboni. Taser, welcome back.
I do not appreciate the slights that they threw towards the Green Lantern movie. Yes, that movie sucked major ass. Still in all. Don't make fun of my hero. Don't make fun
all
of
right.
my hero.
Before we get into what we liked, what we disliked, and what we want out of Deadpool 2, because we already know it's going to happen. One, a lot of us were concerned that Deadpool, it's a rated R movie. Is it going to make the numbers? Now, granted, this movie had a $55 million budget, and it really showed it had a $55 million budget. But it fucking beat out. It topped over Passion of the Christ, which I did not think was possible in terms of rated R films. This movie... it made more money than Man of Steel did in its opening weekend, I think, from what I remember reading. That was fucking amazing to read. How did that happen?
I got some numbers if you told me to throw them out there.
Please, that's the numbers for Deadpool. We want to sell. This is a celebration of Deadpool. This will never happen again until Deadpool 2 comes out.
Opening day on Friday, and keep in mind this is a February record, because February is typically a dead month for movies, but on Friday, Deadpool earned $47.5 million. That's now, over a 10-day period from Friday until, this was as February 21st, so just yesterday. Over a 10-day total, Deadpool earned $235.4 million.
Woo!
Dang. On a $55 million budget.
And I think as of right now, its total domestic gross is $291.
Damn. Congratulations to all those guys.
Yeah. I think at this point it is set to be the highest grossing film of February ever, as well as, adjusted for inflation that is, as well as the highest grossing X-Men movie, I think, is one thing that was being touted.
Which is even crazier to think about.
No, I don't know about that. No, because, what was it? Days of Future Past made like 740 whatever worldwide. I don't know about domestic, but I know it made about 740 million. I had just looked it up yesterday because I looked at, the road cut for Days of Future Present, whatever.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Deadpool has officially earned more at the domestic box office, than any previous X-Men movie or spin-off.
Okay, yeah, that I'll buy. I'll buy that.
All right, ladies.
And ironically enough, the one before this was actually The Last Stand, which had $234.3 million.
Get out of here.
Holy shit.
Jeez.
Yeah. Deadpool worldwide is sitting pretty with $491.8 million thus far. X-Men Last Stand only managed $459.3 million globally. But Days of Future Past has earned $747 million globally. So you're right. Worldwide, Days of Future Past is still on top, but domestically, Deadpool stands tall.
Yeah, I mean, hey, thumbs up.
Achievement is an achievement, man.
Exactly.
All right, so here we're here to talk about Deadpool. We're gonna spoilers. We're gonna spoil the hell out of it. So, This is Deadpool. This is his origin story. And I'll tell you this right now, what I liked about it. This movie had me at the fucking opening credits. As soon as I started realizing what they were doing with the credits, I'm like, yep, they nailed it. They pretty much nailed it. I have not laughed that hard in a movie in quite a while. Granted, I don't go to the movies that often, but just outright, I think for me, and of course the audience I was with, we all lost it once he started trying to beat the shit out of Colossus and broke every bone in his body. And, you know, and I really enjoy, you know what I was for, and what I'll say is, and I'm really, this is what I'll say, what I really enjoyed about the movie, is that what I was worried going into it is, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Deadpool. Brian knows I make fun of him for liking Deadpool. But one of the things I don't like is the overuse of the breaking of the fourth wall. There's such a thing as a good thing. There's such a thing as too much of a good thing. And I was worried one of the things they were going to do was overuse it. And to me, I don't know how anybody else felt, but to me, they did it just enough times where anytime they did it, it still had its punching power. Especially when you move the camera, you don't want to see this. And they never explained it. He can just break the fourth wall whenever the fuck he wants. And just the little bits of humor that they would add throughout with it, and just how outrageous everything was. My favorite joke has to be the Zamboni. It looked like you're gonna be dead in 5 minutes, probably, maybe. I don't know. I thought, of course, we all know Ryan Reynolds was amazing as Wade, slash Deadpool. And also, his friend was pretty fun too. Although he's entertaining a lot of the movies he's in as the sidekick. I actually thought he was supposed to be Bob the Hydra agent. But of course, we all know Bob shows up later on down in the movie. I thought Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead were fun.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead, yeah.
I thought they were fun. I thought they were a fun addition. I'm not going to lie. Okay, other favorite joke. We're going to take you to the professor. Which, McAvoy or Stewart? I can't keep these timelines straight. Just like that.
Did he say Stewart? Because I heard Picard.
No, he said Stewart.
Oh, okay. Because I mean, that joke was freaking hilarious. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I lost it at that one.
Yeah.
And one of the more subtle ones for me personally is when his friend is talking about the bar he just received. He's getting cancer. He has cancer all over the place. Which, you know what? To its credit, and this is just me, they actually made me care about that relationship in a weird, fucked up way. Like they put time a little bit. I actually put time and effort to make that not only as a joke, but also be like have a reason for Wade to go dismember anybody, despite that he doesn't need that reasoning. It was a nice like surprise, like oh, this is actually kind of funny, and a little bit love story, and I like that. So that was fun. I'll talk about Gina Carano later. I thought Colossus was cool, especially when Gina Carano's top falls off, and he's like, oh, I. No, stop. So I thought that was good. Let's see. I mean, what else to say other than it's like the little things that made Deadpool amazing. Like all the little twerks, all the little jokes, all the little side things, all the little effort, all the attention to detail, you know, everything. I think 99% of the jokes landed for me. I think I can't even remember. I mean, it's been a week since I've seen the movie. I can't even remember what jokes didn't land or I thought that weren't as funny. But for the most part, I was in stitches. I thought the action was pretty damn good, too. Just seeing him just, you know, like, stuff we've seen in the trailers, obviously, but, like, you know, when he's in the final battle, when he's just sort of slicing up dudes and just going all over the place, I thought it was great. And surprisingly enough, he was in the mask a good chunk of time. Granted, when he was Ryan, when he was Wade, we got a lot of Wade in the back, but once he was Deadpool, it was full-on Deadpool. Like, they removed the mask at the very end. Lo and behold, he has another mask with Hugh Jackman's face stapled onto him, which is just great. Overall, there's too many things I could like that are basically just jokes and beats and other things of that nature that I really enjoyed. Sorry.
Are you okay?
Sorry. Go see it. If you haven't seen it by now, go see it. I have nothing else to add other than just retelling jokes that honestly are done better on the big screen, done by Wade Wilson himself. Also, he should totally host Saturday Night Live. Taser, what
is... As Deadpool. As
oh,
Deadpool.
Yeah, oh, exactly, yes, as Deadpool. Deadpool himself.
As Deadpool.
Taser,
I love the movie, you know. I was hoping for... I'm glad it was rated R. B, I'm glad they went with good doses of the crazy, although I don't know if they could have added more and I would have been pissed off. I'm happy, you know, I'm suitably happy with what I was given. Some of the changes that they made to, like, the characters, like, specifically Angel Dust and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, A, those were characters I didn't know actually existed because that was during a period of time when I wasn't actually reading, you know, the mutant books. But also, I liked what they did with Angel Dust because Gina Carano, yo, that girl put a hurting on Colossus, and I'm not talking about just the nut shot. When he caught her in that full Nelson, and she was like, F that and flipped him, I was like, woo! There was a lot of wow to this movie, you know? It was, I would say it's a mid-level 80s movie in the violence because you have to... It was good violence. I was so happy to see bullets in the head, people getting riddled and in some cases blown up. And not enough blown up for me because I'm an action junkie, but, you know, it was a good enough dose. Him counting out the bullets was awesome.
Dude, the counting out sequence was awesome.
Yeah, that was just awesome. Middle finger to them, including the Green Lantern reference, although I thought it was funny. Still middle finger, because Green Lantern's my man. And one scene that I had to clap was when, just before, you know, he does the whole pass out thing because his body's riddled with cancer. And he proposes to Vanessa, and she wonders where he got the ring from, and you notice, oh, he's not wearing bottoms. No. but when they both say the thing that's on their mind, and he's going to go, you know, will you marry me? And she's like, will you stick it up my, and then she doesn't get to finish that line. And I was like, holy crap, we got boobs and an anal sex reference in this movie. With Morena Baccarin too? Woohoo! And then there was also the pegging scene. Okay, I give you credit for that. I give you credit for that. Not that I wanted it, but I give you credit for that. There was a lot to like in this movie. I've seen it twice, you know, and I enjoyed it each time. Wouldn't see it a third time because, you know, two is enough. And I remember a little bit. But this is definitely worth paying for. Definitely worth seeing in the movies. I'll say it's almost a fun family movie because you can't not laugh, even if you don't like the violence so much. Freaking Ryan Reynolds delivers his lines as mentally scattered as they are, perfectly. You know, and even the self-referential bit. When he's Deadpool and he actually talks, did Ryan Reynolds get his acting gigs based on his acting ability? You know, his sharp-witted acting ability. It's like, wow, they went there. Holy shit, you know? It was intelligent and it was witty and it was fun. And I loved every second of it. And, of course, I stayed till the end of the credits. And I had the fun there, too. So, you know, kudos to them for what they did. As a matter of fact, double kudos, because I loved the way that they did it. Loved it.
Us old-timers really appreciated it. Yeah.
John, what did you like about Deadpool?
Oh, God, what did I didn't like? Oh, it was hilarious. Right off the get-go, seeing the Rob Liefeld references right off the bat, seeing the trading card. With
that was him in the bar, too, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had two cameos.
And I love how it was just, you know, happy International, you know, Women's Day. When he gets you know, after celebrating Chinese New Year. but, God, it just, the some of the jokes that really made me laugh the hardest were the one with the, what is it? Is it Stewart or McAvoy? I can't keep track of these timelines.
I love that joke.
Yeah. Colossus was dead on. I could not believe they actually finally got Colossus done right. Negasonic Teenage Warhead, I had to remind, I had to let Audra know that, yes, that's a true character out of the comics. and the Ajax jokes were hilarious.
Francis.
Yeah.
What's my name?
Can I just say, spell it out with fucking phenomenal. Oh, my God. I just shit myself.
But,
I loved it. Did y'all, I'm going to interview you real quick, John. Did y'all notice they were fighting on a downed helicarrier?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that afterward because I was trying to figure out what kind of aircraft carrier was that. That was a helicarrier.
Yeah. How the fuck did they get away with, how did they get away with that?
Yeah.
Well, by not calling it that?
I guess.
Yeah. But I love
it. I mean, they referenced it with like the boss level fight, you know, the arena or whatever. They referenced it, but they didn't actually outright say it.
Yeah. But, you know, it was just, I loved it. And I think one of my favorite gags was with the cab driver. You know, my rival, he's in the back. That was wrong. Kill him. You know what you need to do. Do it later. You know, thumbs up. And he was like, wait a minute. I broke a fourth wall within a fourth wall.
That was
like 16 walls. It just, everything was just pitch perfect. I mean, there was nothing that I could say that I didn't like. I mean, obviously, I was not taking my kids to go see it, and if I had...
Why not? It's a fun family movie!
Yeah, okay, Audra would have had my balls for... Yeah. She would have been able to pull off Colossus...
Saying she doesn't already.
Yeah. Pulled off Colossus's ballsack, you know, with pure fury if I had done that. As it was, they saw Kung Fu Panda 3 and they enjoyed it, so... but God, it was hilarious. I mean, what? You're going to leave me here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell? I mean, yes, I know that was in the preview, but you know, God, this was probably the best comic book movie I've seen in years. Probably one of the more accurate ones. The shit they got away with, I could not believe. But
Hugh Jackman, not Wolverine. Hugh Jackman needs to be in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, at least for a brief
quick
moment.
Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but, you know what? If I could make a quick interruption,
go ahead.
I give them a lot of credit for using a DMX song as like his official entrance music, you know, and then stopping it, making the phone call because you forgot about the weapon.
Yeah.
And then start again. And then
music.
We're talking DMX. I was like, holy shit. And I thumb up that.
The sad thing was, Audra was looking at me because I was going lyric for lyric on that. I was just grooving. And she just looked at me like, what the hell? How do you know? It's called Cradle to the Grave, dear. I've got the soundtrack. I love that movie. I love the soundtrack. But yeah, it was just best movie I've seen this year so far.
And it was a song
far.
That fit, too.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I think it really fit.
Civil War and some of the other comic films I'm going to have have a hard act to follow, in my opinion, in terms of being so pitch perfect. I heard really not much. But, yeah, the end credits sequence, oh, my God.
Ferris Bueller's Day is off!
Uh-huh. And that and giving us the mental image of Keira Knightley as...
As Cable.
Playing. Yeah, I was like, oh, God.
She's got range, sure.
Yeah, she's got...
I would watch that movie.
Yeah, so would I.
I would watch that movie. Don't care. I would watch it.
But, yeah, it was good. I would love to go see it again, but I'm just like, oh, God. There's not... Yeah, okay. Brian, yeah, go on.
Brian, you're the Deadpool fan. What did you think as the number one Deadpool fan here?
Hold on, everybody. Stand back. He's going to explode. Go for it, Brian.
I mean, basically me just saying what I liked would be a word for just recounting the entire movie from start to finish, so I'm going to try and, you know, leave out. I'm going to stop from trying to retread territory here and just go with what I really liked. Ryan Reynolds, of course, obviously pitch perfect. His secret origin of him being, like, an enforcer or mercenary was the opening scene with him, you know, extorting that one pizza delivery guy who was stalking that girl was fucking brilliant. Because at the same time, he's a dangerous motherfucker, but he's not a scumbag, so you get that sense? Supporting cast around him is fucking phenomenal. And I mean by that, T.J. Miller as Weasel was awesome. Leslie Uggams as Blind Al was fucking awesome.
Leslie Uggams, like, what the fuck? Who thought to cast her?
I thought it was Michelle Nichols at first, you know, her.
Honestly. That would have made sense, the fucking Leslie Uggams? Like,
fucking
R&B star from, like, the, what, 60s, 70s? Like,
she was in Roots, 1977, dude. No shit.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, so she showed up as fucking Blind Al. So already you've got Weasel, you got Blind Al, Marina Baccarin as Vanessa was awesome, of course. And also the brief little mention of Bob? Is that you? And it's just kind of like, you know, they can't say who he is, but you know who he is. You know, it's one of those things, which was just phenomenal. So his whole surrounding supporting cast was excellent. The touches to the X-Men franchise, basically Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Hey, how come I come here? There's only two of you. Is this the studio couldn't afford another X-Men, another mutant?
That was great. I mean, here we go. Brianna Hildebrand was the actress that played Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and she was fantastic in her role as just like the flippin' teenager, sarcastic, you know, all that stuff. And he calls her characterization right on the spot, but I think she brought it to life.
I love that.
Really.
That was an awesome scene. He actually had me in a box. He's like, I knew it!
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Tweet it. Hashtag it. Okay, good. You know, for a character that only appeared in a panel, she was great. She literally only appears in one panel in comic book history.
She had a couple of more scenes in Astonishing X-Men.
That's right. But her first appearance is literally just a fucking panel.
She was created just to die in the comics, if I'm not mistaken. She basically just killed off.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have her, and then you also get the dynamic of her teaming up with Colossus, who is the out-and-out hero of the movie, so to speak. And he's so, like, hokey about it and just, like, old school about it, and it's just hilarious. Also, why Daniel Cudmore didn't opt to do this, I have no idea, but they clearly gave this dude more depth and lines than they ever would have given Cudmore in the X-Men franchise, so I'm almost lamenting he didn't bother to come out for it, because I think he would have done a decent job if they'd given him the chance. But then you just have this stereotypical hulking Russian dude with the thick accent and stuff talking about heroism.
He was completely CGI the entire time.
I got past it at a certain point. I didn't really, you know, much care.
I'm not, you know, mad at it. It's just, it was interesting that he was completely CGI'd the entire time.
Yeah, they didn't bother showing him, like, morphed or whatever. I guess they didn't have to worry about that, but, yeah. So, there's that. And also, to my surprise, the film handles the romances inside of it pretty well. I mean, not only do you got Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson and Vanessa Carlyle, but again, Dopinder and Geeta, you know, the lovely Indian couple who Deadpool becomes entrenched in, you know. And that was just hilarious, that whole arc of just Dopinder, you know. And then he gets to a point where he takes Wade's advice, and of course they kind of set it up where I think he's going to get caught. So it sucks for Dopinder, but funny for us. Stanley as the fucking MC in the strip club was fantastic. Like, you could not
second
see more.
Second greatest Stanley cameo ever. Second greatest.
What's your first?
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
The cleaning guy. That's the best one. That is the best one.
That's fair. So that was, and also, you know what? I really dug Gina Carano as Angel Dust. She was really, really tight, especially in the scene mentioned where, you know, she's duking out with Colossus, and damn, she rings his bell. Like, you could hear, like, gong, you know? And then, of course, she loses her top, which answers the question about whatever happens to the supervillain wardrobes or superhero wardrobes when they're fighting, you know? And Colossus, being the guy that he is, he's like, okay, just, you know, fix yourself. And she clocks him right in the jewels. Oh, that was great. And... Ed Skrein as Ajax, of course, was great. You know, got such an inferiority complex about his name Francis, you know, and all the instances of what's my name, and, oh, he's going to spell it out for you. Oh, yeah. But I think what I liked the most about this, what I really, really liked, it happened sort of in the opening moments. It begins where Ed Skrein's Ajax is doing the arms deal with the vague, you know, Middle Eastern person, whatever the fuck he is. And they don't go into depth about what the deal is or who it is, but they show him, you know, entering tough negotiations by choking the buyer. And the guy agrees to terms. And as Ajax is walking it off, the guy just goes, oh, fucking mutants. And you get the sense that, oh, this is happening in the broader, you know, mutant universe. And I think what I liked most about this was that it was so refreshing to have an X-Men movie that didn't immediately center around Wolverine or Professor X or Magneto, you know? Because you got that with almost every single X-Men movie. It was one of those three characters the plot revolved around. In some cases, more than one. And this was really the first X-Men movie that took it in a different direction and sort of was like, let's do it about someone else. Let's give another character a try. And that opens the door to so much other stuff. Like, yeah, they were just casual references to the Westchester Mansion and to the X-Men by and large and stuff. But you don't question it for a second because you know that this is happening in the broader universe. And that's so exciting because then you can do so much more with just opening up the universe more, just a little bit more. Like, the post-credit scene we saw teased a certain time-traveling mutant spawn of, you know, Summers. So you're already getting talk of including new characters that haven't shown up all yet and doing them in a way that's not immediately going to be, I must fight in the future to save the past or some bullshit like that. You're going to have him going up against Ryan Reynolds being a crackpot. And that is so exciting. This was a movie that didn't have all the fucking, you know, grim, dark, woe is, you know, state of everything type of bullshit usually seen in these superhero movies. This was, you know, it was dark and it was glib, but it was also funny about it. It didn't take itself too seriously. And I think that's what I liked best about it, was that you didn't have to, you know, feel like the world was going to tip on its axis over whether or not Deadpool saved his girlfriend. You just wanted him to save his girlfriend because it's not a fucking world-ending story. It's a human story, you know? Guy is in love, is horrifically scarred, girlfriend gets taken, and he has to win her back. And how many times have you seen that play out in different sort of variations across cinema? And yet, this is the one that features a horrifically scarred Ryan Reynolds swinging katanas around and shooting people to great effect. It was fantastic. And another thing, on top of that, Deadpool, speaking of tasers, yes, lusty answers. The fight scenes in this movie, on the whole, were spot on. Even just the brief cutaways of him trying to track down Francis were hilarious. The Zamboni scene, as we mentioned, and him fighting the Japanese girls where he's like, is it sexist if I hit you or is it sexist if I don't hit you?
That was great. That was so fucking great.
So not only that, also... about the fight scenes, when Colossus finally got in it, him pounding the crap out of Angel Dust.
Yeah.
Like, when she was on his arm, at one point he pulled a Hulk on it. He was like, slam, 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 toss. He's like, oh shit! He gave her a fastball special. And that's when, you know, he gets over there and he digs around and, oh, look, a boom. But, I mean, she got the shit slammed out of her, you know?
Yeah.
Thumbs up!
There was no punch pull in this one. Everybody fought to, like, the
yeah,
even
really.
Even Reina Bakarin's character ends up getting a few hits in with fucking Ajax. And that was what I loved about this, was that everyone was sort of involved to a degree.
Yeah, okay.
And that was just
actually,
really great.
That Ajax-Deadpool fight with the axes versus the swords, that was a pretty well-done fight.
Yeah,
very good. Question.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they only had a $55 million budget, but it didn't show it. Like,
oh no, it showed it.
You saw where it went.
Yeah, it showed.
That's it. Yeah, excellent. That's where I'll end my gushing about it because I honestly can't say enough good things. And like I said, if I was here enough, we'd just talk about the entire thing. So you know, I might as well cap myself there.
All right, so let's. I think the second is going to be brief quickly. But what we didn't like about Deadpool, the only thing I didn't like, and I think it's what they wanted to do was the villain, a British guy, Ajax. you know, if I had to pick out one thing I didn't like, and it's a more of a nitpick than anything else, it's just Ajax. And that's it. Other than that, I don't have any other criticisms. I do not have any other criticisms of this movie. And even though I've been saying it is shown, you can tell it's a $55 million budget and where it was spent. I didn't mind it. I still had fun. He wears Crocs. That's not a complaint. It's just funny that he wears Crocs. He wears Crocs. And he likes.
Oh my God! The IKEA debate with fucking Blind Al was hilarious.
Oh, that was great. Arguing about IKEA furniture.
When they were sitting on the couch, and he's fondling her chin with his baby hand, and then he talks about how big it's going to feel using that hand. It's like, and to reference it, the scene from a few minutes back when he flash forwards, and he's there masturbating with the unicorn. What was with the fucking unicorn?
He can't masturbate without his thoughts.
That was wonderful.
When he got stabbed in the head and he was seeing all the cartoon characters.
And not only that, but the music was playing and it was moving forward and then slowing up and then moving normal and slowing up. Because, he's got a knife in his head.
Let's just say this. Audra is not the biggest fan of this kind of stuff, but she was nonstop laughing through the entire thing. She was like, this is so wrong, but oh my God. And when Colossus, was getting bitch slapped by Deadpool, she was laughing so hard, especially when he hit him in the nuts. Went, oh, I feel sorry for your wife. It's just, oh God, it's just, she is not a comic. I mean, she likes comic book movies and all that, but she's not the biggest whatever. But oh my God, she loved it.
When he got shot in the head, he's like, oh, right up Main Street.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was hilarious. Like, see? He's wearing brown pants.
you know what I didn't like, though? What I didn't like is the changes that they made to, I don't know, I guess, work on a lower tier story-wise. Like, I don't know why they couldn't have just made Weapon X. You know, why couldn't they just use that? You know, I mean, they left it out of Wolverine's whole thing. You know, they left it out here. I mean, I enjoyed Ajax and Angel Dust, as baddies who work in seedy basements and, just making mutants and for various governments and then, locking them up, putting them in capsules and then shipping them off. You know, that's a really heinous thing to do to people. These guys are clearly evil. But using Weapon X would have made it so much, potentially so much bigger, Like, that's something, I mean, imagine if they legitimately introduced Weapon X into the X-Men franchise, the movie franchise. You know, there's so much that could be done with that. Here, it's just on a lower scale. And that was a bit of a disappointment to me. Also, Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Angel Dust as characters are completely different from the comic versions. Yeah, Negasonic Teenage Warhead is actually a cool name, and her powers in the movie fit as opposed to what she ended up being in the comic book. And I didn't read it. I'm, going back and looking on it. But you mean to tell me that they couldn't have found a mutant character that already existed like that and used that person? Angel Dust sounds like, and they could, both of them are completely different. Angel Dust at least bears something of a resemblance, although she seems like she kicks more ass, with her power set in the movie. But Negasonic Teenage Warhead is completely different. And while I like the name, it's just like, really? And it's a minor nitpick, and I'll grant you that it's a fanboy nitpick. It's a bit of a disappointment, but it would have been nice to have seen them actually go, okay, here, right over here, from here to here, boom, without having to morph. You don't really need to morph characters into something. You
take a character that already exists and use them as they are, you know? But, and also, did he have to be in New York? Would have been nice if he actually was from somewhere else, even if you're not going to do Canada, you know? He was like Seattle or something, you know, someplace not New York. New York is like the most used backdrop for every fucking fictional comic, you know, situation ever. You know, 90% of Marvel happens in New York City. So, you know, a bit of originality there would have been, you know, appreciated. I guess that's all I got.
John.
Like I said, I didn't really have any complaints other than it ended way too soon for me. That's about it. I mean, oh, God.
All right,
come on. The guy's face looked like Freddy Krueger and fucked the topographical map of Utah.
Those are great.
Oh, God.
It was that angry sex, you know?
I have one, if it's appropriate. May I go?
With.
All right. Again, this didn't... I'm going to preface this by saying it didn't ruin my enjoyment of the movie at all. It didn't upset me or make it any less hysterical. But I was kind of... Like, I was surprised how many of the jokes they'd shown in, like, the TV spots and the trailers ended up being in the final cut of the movie. And I know that's kind of a weird thing to complain about, but it felt like whenever those moments came, you know, I knew what the joke was going to be, and I saw it coming. And, yeah, I still laughed about it. But there was a moment where I was like, oh, yes, yeah, okay, I saw that in the... I saw that in the trailer. Okay, sure. Like, it just off the top of my head, the whole naming sequence. Now, that in itself was funny, but being that Ryan Reynolds and... T.J. Miller are both real good at improvisation. I was expecting some more off-the-cuff stuff, and it was just what I'd seen in the trailer, and I was kind of disappointed in that. So I guess I'll bring it back around by saying that my biggest disappointment was that they didn't exploit the comedy angle to its fullest extent, or they didn't include all they could have, I guess is what I'll say. So really, it's a minor complaint. I really don't, you know, I still found it hilarious, but it was just... It was just, I just saw a lot of the jokes coming, or not a lot, but the ones at the critical moments, and I was kind of like, oh, yeah, I knew that was coming. So that was really it for me. I still enjoyed the hell out of the movie, jokes notwithstanding, so.
All right. So let's talk about, obviously it's going to get Deadpool 2. We are going to get a Deadpool 2. But
they confirmed it before the movie officially released.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be Cable. All I want is sequel jokes, and I want an 80s... I want a 80s training montage for Deadpool. Because I feel like that should happen. I feel like that should happen. Like for some reason, something happens, and then he literally goes up to a mountain and goes, Drago! Wait.
You're the best. Down.
Exactly. Like I
never turn you down.
Tell me I'm not wrong. That would be amazing. No.
No, you know what would be amazing? If they used You Got the Touch. I'll lose it then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't care. I'm going to fall out in the middle of the theater if they play You Got the Touch.
Oh, yeah, but Siegel jokes and Cable. Cable's going to be good. I don't care about anything else. And I will say this. The budget doesn't need to get bigger. They've proven that they can do... they can make Deadpool... A good Deadpool movie without making, like, $350 million. And it can be rated R, and it's successful. This might be the first rated R franchise you've gotten in a long time that's successful.
Fair statement.
So it's a new era. But we'll talk about the future of rated R films in a bit. T-Man, what do you want out of Deadpool 2 when it eventually comes out in 2018?
I would actually like Wolverine to show up at some point, not necessarily to fight, just like kind of in passing. Or like, I don't know, a picture of
you know what?
As Wolverine, and he makes a comment. Just something like that.
Nah, I mean, you know what? We need to have Wolverine show up and then have Deadpool tell him to go fuck himself and have him just walk off the screen from that point. Just turn around and walk away.
No. He says fuck off and then pulls out a mic, drops it, and then walks off the screen. No, that
that's not bad. I would like, while I thought, and this isn't a nitpick, I thought it was just weird having Colossus here. I like Colossus, but it was weird. But I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, somebody else, because I don't know, the role that he played in this was like, really, Colossus? That's why I want Wolverine here, at least in the sequel, you know, to kind of be something that, I don't know, an X-Men that I buy playing the role of always trying to get Deadpool to join the X-Men, you know, because that just seemed weird, you know? I don't need the professor. I guess I'd be happy with Wolverine making an appearance and something along those lines, you know, being played out. Like, you know, Colossus is always trying to take and recruit you, but, you know, really, I don't really give a rat's ass about you. Something along those lines. It showed like an antagonistic, you know, relationship between them. And then he does, as Brian does, you know, as Brian said, you know, basically, you know, F you, and then he walks, steps off, and then roll credits. That shit would be fun. Cable, I didn't read Cable and Deadpool, so I'm a little ambivalent on that. Having him in the movie doesn't sound like a bad thing. I'm amped for the prospect of Cable in the movies, but you know, Cable and Deadpool, okay, whatever. I would say a few more mutants, you know, maybe a few that are known and none that are transmogrified from one form to another. You know what I'm saying? And if they bump the budget, then at least keep it where, like this movie, where we see where the money went, you know? And they can do, you know, they continue to do good stuff with the money and the script, and it's not something ridiculous. You know, like, it all goes into, like, one person's pocket or whatever. And,
That was a loud train.
Yeah, yeah, I can't help that. Yeah, keep the same writers. Please keep writer. Please.
They already confirmed to bring back the original screenwriters.
Okay, then I'm good. Yeah. Oh, give us vaginas. We have boobs. Let's get vaginas. Yeah. Oh, no. That's a little too much. That's for the third act. Oh, you know what? Nah, I was going to say, what if Morena Baccarin actually turns into Copycat, because that's who her character is in the comics? But I, you know what? No. I don't want her to get powers too, because and Copycat was just basically Mystique, but, you know, better powers, better use of her powers, so whatever. Now, keep her as she is, you know? A piece of ass on screen. Yeah, there you go. I'm done.
Brian, what do you, final thoughts? What do you want out of Deadpool 2?
I want to see Cable show up. I want that a lot. Cable would be great. If they really wanted to appease me, like really kind of go deep cuts for a second, I would like to see Siren show up. Even just like a casual off the cuff, like, you know, she shows up out of nowhere and like just wrecks his shit. And he's like, hey, who's that girl? Or some shit like that.
Who's
I want to
say
that.
They played a Madonna song. Who's that girl?
So, Cable, I mean, I want to see it happen, obviously. A cameo from Hugh Jackman would be fun, as long as they played it off like we don't fucking need Hugh Jackman. Because they really don't need Hugh Jackman. Siren would be cool to see. That's more of like a wish list type thing, though. I'm not sure how much they'd actually get for her. That's really all I got off the top of my head. As long as they just keep doing what they're doing, I mean, I don't see any reason why they can't keep up. But I would love to see Blind Al back. I'd love to see Weasel come back. Vanessa, I'd like to see back too. I mean, it depends on in what capacity they keep her on. I'm not really sure how they're going to make that work long term, but that's not for me to decide. I'm not a writer. So, but yeah, I mean, as long as they just keep doing what they did with this one, I'm more than satisfied with the direction they'll go in, no matter what happens. So it's really just all kind of gravy at this point. So,
oh, and have like Fabian Nicienza? Yeah, Nicienza. Fabian and the guy, who's the guy who later on, when they really fleshed out his character,
Joe
made him
Casey.
Joe Kelly. Have both of them have cameos, because
while, yeah, Leafield and Nishienza, they deserve credit because they created the character, Casey should also get credit
for making Joe Kelly.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking Casey.
Well, they're both named Joe, and they work together, so.
Fair enough. But Kelly should get credit, get an on-screen credit, because he's what made Deadpool.
Well, you know what?
Like Brian said it way back when, and I get it. Because while you had the character, and he, you know, yeah, you had the character from X-Men, I mean, New Mutants, X-Force, whatever the fuck, this guy, you know, really only showed up under his pen. You know, the one that people think of when they think Deadpool. And I think that's important. So, yeah, I think he deserves a credit. And if not two, then three. Because this will get a third one.
If I may, Fabian Nicenza could have a better... What? Okay. He could have a better chance next movie because he actually wrote Cable and Deadpool, the original... I think the series, yeah. He was the writer for that, one of the writers ongoing. So he has a better chance. And, yeah, Joe Kelly and... God, was that when he was teaming with Ed McGuinness, too? Is that Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness on...
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So any one of those guys really could deserve a cameo. More than Rob Liefeld's two cameos. Fucking asshole.
Hey, he created the cameo.
Yeah.
Hey.
You know what would be an interesting cameo, too? Have them get killed by Deadpool. Have them get killed. Incidental deaths. Like, you know, Deadpool is shooting at people, and, you know, you see two guys walking by with, like, you know, a notepad and a sketch pad, and they just get riddled. And he makes some kind of comment, oh, comic book writers, who cares? You know, some shit like that. That would be freaking hilarious.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it would be.
All right, well, I want to ask one more question before we go. Obviously, Deadpool, we've talked about how successful it is, and it's already started that Wolverine 3 will, in fact, be rated R. Now, could this be a true... Now, could this... What I think... And this is my question to you guys, is do you think Hollywood should learn from this? Not the fact that rated R works, but letting the character be the character work. Because just because you turn something rated R doesn't mean it's going to necessarily work. It worked for Deadpool because it had hilarious jokes and everything landed, and an amazing performance overall. But do you think we will see more rated R comic movies coming down the road?
I agree. No. Especially if Disney's behind most of those. Yeah,
any reason why?
Because rated R works for Deadpool because of the type of character that he is. He's somebody that deals in comic book violence, big time in comic book violence. We're not talking, you know, Truth, Justice in the American Way, you know, bring the guy in for questioning, lock him up, you know, the rule of law. He's a mercenary. He's a mercenary with, I don't want to say immoral, but let's say amoral personality, you know? Uh-huh. And, you ate a bullet. Oops, sorry. And moving right along, you know, type of demeanor, which, cool, you know? I like death and violence, you know? I was born in the 70s and raised on 80s movies, where that was pretty much the way you did things. But it doesn't work across the board. Like a rated R, imagine a rated R Superman movie or a rated R Spider-Man movie. Like what? So Spider-Man's gonna curse now? That's not Peter Parker, you know. And it doesn't fit. It works for Deadpool. It doesn't work for mostly anybody else. Maybe Deathstroke. But
what about Wolverine? Since that apparently they've confirmed that Wolverine 3 will be rated R.
It would if you're looking at, like, the pure D violence, because look at his abilities. He heals quick, and he slashes the fuck out of everything, you know? Uh-huh. The fact that he was able to, well, shit worked in the X-Men because it was the X-Men. His solo movies, you know, that first one was, let's not mention, and the Wolverine was a better attempt, but even then, you had moments like... His fight with what's-her-name's dad was a bit astonishing in that they played it off and made it seem somewhat painful. But even still, there's a whole lot of stuff that you see him doing and you don't see it because it's not a rated R movie. you know? I mean, he stabs people, but it's usually dark, it's shadow, you don't see, you know, the I don't know, claws or whatever go right in. Yeah. You just see him punch, and it's assumed. If I get a movie where I get to see freaking Wolverine hacking off limbs and people just falling down to their knees, slowly holding their guts, and then they fall over, like, holy shit, that dude lost buku blood. Awesome! You know, that's Wolverine. This, we're talking a real solid solo Wolverine adventure with him doing what he did best. You know, did, because he's dead now still. Yeah, you can do that, and it works with Wolverine. It doesn't work with not too many others, you know? So, yeah, give me a Wolverine movie where he's cutting people and I get to see blood. I know I'm not going to see, like, boobs and stuff, because that doesn't work with Wolverine. It works with Deadpool, not with Wolverine. The violence, definitely. Definitely the violence.
The only way we're going to see another, like, an R-rated Marvel movie would be if they decided to go ahead and have the balls to do another Punisher movie. Otherwise,
yeah,
I don't see them. I especially see, you know, Disney, Marvel not doing it. Fox, maybe, if they, you know, with the Deadpool and maybe branch out with one or two of the other characters. But, and then with, like, Warner Brothers, unless it's, like, Watchmen-related, maybe Suicide Squad, I think, supposed to be, wasn't that supposed to be rated R, or were they PG-13?
I honestly don't know. I really don't. Yes, although, that is something that I could see them touching R on.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, the nature of the characters involved. But that's just the violence, you know, like the lewdness.
Yeah. You know. As it is, there was already a bunch of BS with all the people going, we should have been able to take our children to see this movie. No, you shouldn't. You know? And I'm just like, you know, that's part of it. People are going to be like, it's a comic book movie. It's supposed to be for kids and this and that. And I'm like, dudes, there are characters out there that aren't for the kids, but, you know, for adults to watch. And Deadpool is proving that there's a market for it. But I don't see a ramping up of R-rated comic films. You know, it depends on the subject matter. If we get the third Wolverine and it's based off of Old Man Logan and they go the hard R, I'll be like Taser. I'll be popping a full-on robot.
Chubby?
Yeah, chubby. Because that, you know, for years, that's what I've wanted to see, is Wolverine just tearing into people and not the PG-13 sanitized version. I'm talking runs through people and you see stuff fly, whether it's blood, body parts, whatever.
And seeing him, like, cut up and bleeding, and it's his own blood.
Uh-huh.
But just you see the wear, and you see him healing back, but, yeah, he's in pain because, he done got cut up.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I just don't see it. I mean, yes, it's a big success, but I don't see them going to go out of their way right off the bat. And they're going to have to do a couple of more movies just to see if that will be a legit thing. Otherwise, too many people are like, you got to make it for the kids, too. And it's just, yeah, like I said, it depends on the character.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You weren't angry about that at all, dude. I couldn't tell.
You know? Yeah.
All right. Well, any more to say, guys, on Deadpool?
I want to say, I wanted to say, for what I want to see in the second one, I want to see when Cable first pops up, I want to see him at Deadpool inadvertently due to whatever time wormhole or whatever, they briefly look like the Liefeld versions of them when they first pop up. Like, no skinny legs.
Shoulder pads out for everybody.
You know, toothpicks for the legs, no feet, you know. I want to see that. That would be a... That would be a... You know, and I also want to see Domino. Yeah. But
she would be an awesome cameo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She would be an awesome cameo.
I'm not saying as a major character, but I would love to see Domino. Or, you know, just see a couple of the other X-Force, you know, characters pop up. You know, whether it's Boom Boom or Richter or even Cannonball. Hell, I'd be even happy for Sunspot, you know. Just something to kind of throw in there for the longtime fans that would be like, hey, but give me the Liefeld dimensional, you know.
That'd be fun.
I would laugh my ass off.
Hold on, question. Didn't Domino show up in X-Men First Class? Or
no.
Was it X-Men First Class, or was it Wolverine's first movie, the one with all those mutants that were chained up?
No, she was not. She was not. I mean, if they were, Wolverine's... It's not... I don't know. It's weird. If she was, that's like saying Emma Frost showed up in there. We know that's not true.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
True enough.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to call it for this special edition of podcast dedicated to Deadpool. Let us know what you thought about the Merc with the Mouth getting his own feature film. And, of course, what do you want for the sequel, which will probably be coming in at least 2 years. 3 years at the longest.
Yeah, it's replacing Fantastic Four.
Rightfully so. Fox had a winner outside of, granted it was in the mutant movie, but still, I guarantee they were finally having a stroke.
Doesn't this make Deadpool a mutant?
Kinda.
Or is he a mutate?
Mutate, not a mutant. He doesn't have the X gene.
Yeah, he's okay. More of a mutate. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he said like we're gonna unlock that X gene factor. So I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. But, I mean, see, that's the thing. Cause it's
yeah,
like,
but well, it wasn't brought out naturally.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
You got to catch that flight.
Let us know what you thought about Deadpool.
Oh.
Follow us on @Warriors3PCast for all updates on the show. Follow me at Marvelous Icky and I guess check out the Mighty Warriors 3 Facebook group that Taser manages very perfectly well, at least. That's to tell me because I don't look at it because I don't go to Facebook.
So he has an account.
Yeah, it's between me, Brian, and Taser. We try to keep things up to date.
Yeah, but you guys are doing work. You're doing the boss man proud that I don't see at all. You all could be full of shit and I don't see it. You just tell, we're doing a good job.
We want to get paid.
Yeah.
Where's our pay?
We got a strike, guys.
Strike, strike, strike.
Welcome next week to an all new rebooted version of Warriors 3 for the podcast.
There's going to be a whole bunch of Mexican dudes who I picked up at Home Depot.
We talk about Iron Man, motherfucker. Yeah.
I didn't fuck. I wanted illegals, not cholos. Not freaking cholos, John.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
No, cholos are arrogant assholes. At least illegals can be somewhat cool. Cholos are just assholes.
Yeah, but they're still all Hispanic.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Whatever.
La raza.
La raza.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you all next time for another Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Stay Deadpool. I don't know what that means. Go eat some chimichangas. And get some ass. Got blades for days, got guns galore, got combo moves, evades and more. With bear traps and hand grenades, pull the pistol like a maniac right in your face. Popping off caps, leave a trail of guts. Sitting on my chair, scratching my nuts. Don't stop when I shoot, full auto was on. Your ass is grass and I'm on the lawn. Hot lead to the head and I won't stop. What your crew gonna do when I hack and chop? All these bitches are prima donnas. I stuff my face with chimichangas. Tacos and beers, always keeping it loose. Hang on for a minute while I'm dropping a deuce. We'll be right back.